good film.
Thank you. Good.
You feel?
I'm very pleased with it. I haven't seen the final version. Wolfgang finished it two nights ago at 4, or no, last night at 4 o'clock, I think, in the morning or something. Then the night before, at 4 o'clock in the morning. I haven't seen any of the film with the music, but I'm looking forward to it. I think it's he's done a wonderful job.
Can you tell the difference when you're making a film, like, that, you know, this is going to work versus something that...
Yeah, more or less. I thought the script was so strong. I had faith in it from the very beginning. Sometimes there are enough factors that you can't figure on to where you you don't know right the first day that it's going to cook quite the way you want it to. But this one was so strong in its construction that I always felt very strongly that it was going to be a great audience film. I've just started this comedy that I'm doing with Ivan Reitman and Anne Heche, and a comedy is a little bit harder to guess how that's going to work, and I might as well put in a plug for it now. I think it's working really well. I was delighted to with the last week's work. But enough about me.
Are you shooting a lot of that comedy scenery on the island of Oahu itself? Or?
No, we're working on Kauai, which is a beautiful, beautiful island. It's about 95 miles from here.
When you make a movie like Air Force One, you read the script and it's, internally you can feel it. What is it about this character that also seems to reverberate inside you that makes you want to play the president?
Well, it's first of all, I want to play the man who is the president. I thought that the emotional story involved here was something that I felt that I related to. The guy's dilemma and the opportunities that you have to give expression to that dilemma in some sophisticated degree or another, and how those, and I felt that those moments could be made very compelling for the audience. I also think it was important that there's a moral issue involved here that's given framework and references to our foreign policy now and in the recent past, and gives the audience a chance to feel something about those events, which might just be external to them. So all of that is involved in the character of this man who is the president, in this case, James Marshall.
You were involved in the casting of Glenn Close and convincing him to take the role?
Well, I was. I stumbled upon Glenn at a party that was given for the president on his birthday, as when he was visiting Jackson, Wyoming, where I've lived for years, on his birthday. And Glenn was seated next to the president. And about halfway through the meal, I went over and asked the president if he would be good enough to arrange a tour for us of Air Force One, which I knew was had carried him to Wyoming, and took that opportunity to talk to Glenn about being my vice president. She'd always been the first choice for that part, and I believe, although I'm not positive, that her agents had suggested it was too small a part for her. So I made a personal plea that she give us some consideration, and got a positive response from both she and the president. So I lucked into it that day.
When you and the character of the first lady in the film are going through all these action sequences, do you ever think, I could see Bill and Hillary doing this, or do you not worry about the...
I didn't worry at any point about giving this president, who lives in this world, in this movie, any reference to any other president living or dead. Didn't think there'd be any value or necessity in doing that. This is a character pretty much that is drawn in order to give expression to the story that we tell, and I had no problem believing in him or needing to fill him in any way by reference to President Clinton or anybody else.
It was a very emotional scene, and I think it's the most emotional I've ever seen you on screen, when you're really taken to tears, and I'm wondering what you think about your performance in that scene and the process you had to go through to build to that emotional peak.
There's no special process at all. It's simply a manner of standing and delivering. The experience is not inconsistent with my, albeit a matter of degree, inconsistent with my experience as a father. That. And I believed in the scene, and I believed in the circumstances. I believed in the performances of Gary Oldman and of Liesl, who plays my daughter. And it was very easy just to stand there and react to what was happening. It's not hard for me to portray emotion. It comes very easily with belief and with understanding of what it is that we're going for. I mean, it's not simply emoting, it's storytelling.
Do you think something like this could really happen on Air Force One in reality?
It has never happened before, and all of our... all of us believe that something that's never happened before could never happen. That's how we work. But I don't have any problem believing that something like this could happen. Certainly, a lot of special circumstances would have to be met in order for it to happen. And not all of them are covered in the telling of this story. Some of them are indicated rather than detailed with any great depth. But I think we've met all of the necessities, realistically speaking, although we haven't dramatized them all, that would allow such a thing to happen.
How was your tour of Air Force One? What were your impressions of this movie?
I was very interested in getting a glimpse of the plane. I wanted all of Wolfgang, Michael Bauhaus, myself, our art director, were all together on that occasion, and I think it was all very it was important for all of us just to get the a look at the realistic environment, which we have portrayed in the film on the main deck and the cockpit level deck very realistically. We've taken some liberty with more than a little perhaps with the lower decks and the what's really happening down there, but it was a great opportunity to just be in the real place, feel the real thing.
When you talk about the importance that it have be a moral issue, I think that you're in an interesting position portraying, I think that opening speech is what we want to hear, what Americans want to hear our politicians say.
Uh-huh.
I think of what Jimmy Stewart did in Mr. Smith or what Kevin Kline did in Dave. What role do you think Hollywood plays or film plays in shaping those hopes and desires?
I don't know that we shape anything. I think we reflect those things that that the audience that the constituency, that the body politic has an ambition for their leaders to say in a perfect world. That speech was most important to me. It was the one circumstance under which I felt that the obligation to behave presidentially, and I wanted it, and since it was the only chance that I had to create the president on that level, I was very concerned that that speech be what we finally came to use. And it is. It's a president putting himself on the line, aligning himself with a moral point of view that we know is difficult, taking a moral position which we know to be right, and also taking blame, allowing that he has behaved inadequately, and vowing not to let it happen again. These are very strong statements from a president, and something we'd all be delighted to have any president do. It might hurt it when re-election comes with a certain, he'd have to be pretty aware of what his demographic was when he did such a thing. But it, in a perfect world, I think we'd all want a president that speaks that selflessly.
About an actor who speaks that selflessly, and what I mean is you've recently been drawn into a controversy regarding the Chinese government with the Dalai Lama and so on, and I'm wondering, what is that about? Your name has come up, and I'm not clear on that, and I'm wondering if you...
Well, there's nothing, you know, I haven't been drawn into anything. I've merely made occasional statements in support of the Tibetan people, and my wife is involved in making a film based on the Dalai Lama's autobiography, and I've met the Dalai Lama on numerous occasions and become aware of the dilemma of Tibet and the and also our government's involvement with the Chinese government in the granting of most favored nations and the failure of us as a government to condemn the Chinese policy in respect of Tibet. So I've made occasional statements, and it's intrigued the press considerably. I have, and they have asked me about it, and I have responded, but I have not become a public spokesman for Tibet, or do I intend to be.
Is it true that you were you and Richard are banned from going to China?
Apparently. I think maybe not even China. Nobody has tested this, and I've only heard anecdotal reference to it. I haven't gotten any official word from anybody. I think we're banned from Tibet, not actually from China.
You did travel to Tibet, though. With
I did.
How did that affect you? It obviously got you involved to the degree that you.
Well, it was easy to see what's happening there and how the population transfer of Chinese citizens to Tibet has affected the Tibetan spirit and the Tibetan culture and Tibetan religion. And it's not a pretty thing. But I'm not an expert on foreign relations or Tibet or China. And that's not why we're all here today. So maybe we'll let it go at that. And
you're not an expert, but you're playing one in the movies.
Yeah.
In both this film and in Independence Day, it seemed like the public in Independence Day really reacted to it, and I think they will in this film also. The concept of the president as a real man of action. He was a fighter pilot. He was a Vietnam veteran in the case of the Air Force One president. Why do you think that the public has a yearning to conceive their president as a man of action?
Well, I certainly don't know that the public has that. All I can tell you is that this was written as a president who was forced into a circumstance where he was the only one available to redress the situation that he found himself in. That's the way it was written. That was the film I thought would. I haven't seen Independence Day, by the way. I can only tell you that when I read this, I thought, oh, that will be fun for an audience to see. I can't give you a broader reflection on it, on the subject than
can
that.
You get, ever get a chance to watch your films, or are you interested in watching your films with an audience? Because you're right, this is a great audience film.
Yeah, I see the film in test screenings before it's finally finished, and that's very interesting to me. It's very important for me to, I think, to be there and weigh in, I find those experiences very informative. But once the final print is made and they're showing it in theaters, I generally don't do that. No.
Is that experience enjoyable, or is it?
It's a professional experience. I'm there to see how it feels, and certainly when they enjoy it, it is enjoyable. When they wiggle, I take note. When they, you know, when they're moved to go and get popcorn, I'm suspicious. I count them coming back. I'm not seeing it as they see it. I'm there on a professional level.
But what do you learn from that process, though? What do you take
from that? Oh, I learn where we're unclear, where the tempo is wrong, where the emphasis is on the wrong syllable, that sort of thing. You know, it's you learn a lot by taking the ride. You learn where you might be able to tighten a film, and of course, I'm not the only one there. I'm one of a number of collaborators that all have opinions and ideas about it, and we all talk together and we all make the changes.
And you started your career on stage, where you have that feedback from the actor. I know that's
a long
time ago, but you have that feedback from the audience. How do you know when you're doing it on film that it's happening right without seeing how the audience responds?
Well, I think you look for clarity in the expression of the ideas that you take to be important in every scene, and you look for a certain build and finish, and you look for an adequacy of expression, and then you give that a mental framework by what you know it's surrounded by. So it's a very technical look at what you're doing. It's not an emotional look at it.
You were a carpenter years ago. Do you look at acting as a craft or as an art? And do you see any relationship between building a house and say building a character?
Well, I've always thought that acting and filmmaking were craft skills. I think I have no problem with that. I don't aspire to anything more than good craft skills. And I certainly find myself more than adequately challenged by trying to meet those craft skill requirements that I set for myself. There is one can build a metaphor to between making a film and making a character and making a house, starting with a foundation and so on and so forth, brick upon brick, supporting the eventual final effect. But I'm bored with doing it because I've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
And I'm no longer a carpenter. So, I mean, it's like a...
In terms of popular culture, two monumental events occurred in 1977, a George Lucas film, and also the death of Elvis Presley. And I was wondering, since it'll be, next month will be the 20th anniversary of his passing, I'm wondering if you could tell me where you were when you heard he had died and if he had any impact on you.
Good segue.
Thank you
for this opportunity. Well, I remember where I was when President Kennedy died. I don't really remember where I was when Elvis died. Or if I even gave it very much consequence when it happened. I was never much obsessed with Elvis. I liked some of his songs and some I didn't.